know, it had to be more than just Peter being hard-headed. It had to be more than just Peter not paying attention to Jesus. It had to be more than just Peter not following what Jesus was saying, because Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter's reply comes back, "Yes, you know I love you. Yes, you know I love you. I don't understand. You know everything. You know I love you. Why are you asking me these things these three times?" Had to be more than just Peter being hard-headed. Had to be more than just Peter not listening, not paying attention to Jesus. So what was it? If you look at the reading in English, it's hard to see what the problem might be. It's hard to see why Jesus kept asking Peter this question repeatedly. But if you look at it back in the original language of the Gospel of John, if you look at it in Greek, you can see what's going on. You can see the problem. You can see, you can comprehend, you can understand why Jesus kept asking him this question. In English, it reads very simply, "Peter, do you love me?" Or "Simon, son of John," which is the same thing. "Hey, Rocky, do you love me?" And Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Now, it looks fine in English, but when you take it into the original language, when you take it over into Greek, it says something different. So let me swap out the English word and put in the Greek word that Jesus uses, and then put in the Greek word that Peter is using here to reply. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you agape me?" That's the Greek word, agape. "Do you agape me?" And Peter's reply is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." Huh. It's not the same word. Jesus said, "Do you agape me?" And Peter replies, "I phileo you." Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And Peter's reply is, "Yes, Lord, you know that I like you, that I'm fond of you, that I like being around you, that you've done so much for me, and I thank you for it, and I like you for it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I'm fond of you. You're my friend. Thank you so much. I like you a lot." That's kind of what he said. Now, phileo in Greek is not quite that weak. It's a little stronger than like. I've defined these words before. Just a couple of months ago, we talked about agape. I'll talk about it again here. Agape is, in Greek, the love that is divine love, that's holy love, that's spiritual love. It is love that loves because of the lover's character and nature, and of the need of the person who is loved to receive it. Agape love considers the need of the other as being more important than or essential to your own need. Agape love considers the need of the other as being more important than or essential to its own need, or his own need, or your own need. When you are loving someone with agape love, you are considering them as being more important than you. You're considering their needs, their hopes, their dreams, their desires as being essential to the happiness that you have. When Jesus came to live among us, when the Father gave His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to become one of us, Jesus was considering our need ahead of His need to be one with the Father. He was considering our need to have a relationship with the Father as being more important than His need to continue in heaven with the Father. When Jesus gave Himself on the cross for our sins, He was considering our need of a sacrifice as being more important than His need to not die. Wow. That really starts to describe love. And in fact, we had Jesus saying that. "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, because his friends need it. because his friends need to have an atoning sacrifice to take their place. In the Hebrew system, it was simply a lamb that you would take and slaughter. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That is indeed love. God so loved the world. Back at the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Powerful affirmation of love. Willingness to come and take our place. Considering the needs of another as more important than or essential to your own needs. That's the essence of agape love. And that's what Jesus was asking Peter for. Do you agape me? Do you love me? Do you consider my needs as more important than or essential to your own needs? Do you place my calling on your life first? Do you place my law first? Do you place my will first? Do you place my word first? Do you place my ministry first? Do you place me first? Amen. And Peter's reply is, you know that I phileo you. Not agape, phileo. Now phileo, it's more than just like. I mean, we sometimes say, I'm very guilty of it, say, you know, it's like, but it's like plus. It's more than just like, it's affection, it's friendship. It's doing for another. Phileo is doing for another because you have received from that one. It's loving in return for having been loved. And quite frankly, most of us love for that reason. We love because we have been loved. We love Jesus because he died for us. We love God because God gave Jesus to be with us. We love our friends because they love us. We spend time with them because they spend time with us. We love because we have been loved. There's nothing wrong with that. Phileo love is good. I wish we had more of it. We have a city named after it, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Not much love going on there sometimes, but my brothers and sisters, we are called to have this kind of love and more for our brothers and sisters, and especially for God. Jesus asks Peter, do you agape me? And Peter's reply is, you know that I phileo you. A very positive statement, but not what Jesus was asking for. So Jesus asks him again, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And the second time, what's that? You don't know? Do you agape me? That's the devil playing around the sound system is what it is. Get out! In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, the second time, Jesus asks him, do you agape me? Peter's response is, yet again, you know, I phileo you. I'm fond of you. I like you a whole lot. I love you because of what you did for me. Amen. But not agape. Jesus asked for agape, and he got phileo. And here's the powerful point. The thing that makes this passage come alive for me. Not just Jesus begging for agape, and Peter refusing it with only phileo. Now, third time, Jesus says, okay, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? And Peter's response is, Lord, you know everything. It's almost as if he said, I just told you twice. I'm going to tell you a third time. Yes, I phileo you. In other words, Jesus tried twice for agape, to see where Peter was. And when he realized, when he understood, when it was became clear because of the nature of his responses, when it became obvious that Peter cannot respond, could not respond, would not respond with agape, Jesus said, "All right, do you phileo me?" And Peter replied, "You know I do. I phileo you. I love you with the phileo love." In other words, Jesus, when he couldn't get agape, reached down to where Peter was. Reached down to where Peter existed. Reached down into the relationship level that Peter could tolerate and started with him there. Now notice, the question is three times asked. It kind of mirrors Peter's three denials. "I do not know the man. I do not know the man. I tell you, I do not know the man." Cock-a-doodle-doo. Well, my brothers and sisters, here we have Jesus asking him, "Do you love me?" "I love you," but it's phileo love, Jesus. "Do you love me?" Agape. It's phileo love, Jesus. "Do you love me?" Phileo. "You know I phileo you." Peter couldn't quite make it to agape. Maybe because, and psychologists of the New Testament, people who have made their study of the New Testament, looking at the characters and their natures and the reasons why they say things, psychologists of the New Testament have said that Peter couldn't respond with agape love at this point because he was still beating on himself for having denied his Lord. Could be right. Could well be right. The good news for us and for Peter is that Jesus didn't leave him there. Jesus didn't leave him with just phileo love. Jesus didn't accept just phileo love. It was later on in the letter, first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verse 8. Peter says in some degree of amazement that those who had never seen or met the Lord nevertheless agaped the Lord, loved the Lord. He was able to articulate in a sense that identified the fact that he now had agape for Jesus. He said, "Those of you who have never seen Jesus, nevertheless, you have agape for him. You love him with divine, eternal love. Just as I have come to love agape, the Lord." Jesus will reach down to where we are, the kind of relationship we can accept, but he won't leave us there. That's the essence of sanctification, brothers and sisters. That's the essence of what it means for Jesus to move into us, to transform us, to convert us into a new man again and again, more and more like unto his nature, more and more like Jesus. That is the essence of sanctification. Where the Holy Spirit moves into us, takes us at phileo, and moves us to agape. Takes us at loving because we have been loved, and moves us to agape. Loving, setting the self aside. During Lent, we talked about dying to self. That's what we're talking about. Setting aside the self, setting aside the needs of the self, setting aside the dreams and the desires of the self, and placing Jesus Christ and his ministry, his word, his calling first. Ooh. Do I have to put Jesus first? I mean, I've got a whole lot of things I'd rather do. I'd rather make a whole lot of money working in a different field. I'd rather have a whole lot more fun living a different kind of life. Do I have to put Jesus first? Yep. You do. Well, that's awfully hard. Yep. It is. It's even more than hard. It's impossible. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, without the presence of the risen Lord Jesus, without the grace of God flowing to us through all the many means of grace, slowly transforming us, slowly moving us forward, it's impossible for us to have agape for God. But only through Jesus. And his grace and his presence and his strength transforming us can we truly have agape for God. Ooh. Well, does that mean I have no hope because I don't want to give up the me, myself, and I? If you're willing to commit it to God and take that first step of putting Jesus first, you have hope. You may not be able to do it all now. Peter couldn't do it all now. Peter had phileo. Jesus took him there, and he became the rock upon whom the church was built, and the gates of hell have not stood against it. Can you imagine that? Peter, who denied Jesus. Peter, who was constantly putting his left foot in his mouth all the way up to his ankle. Peter, impetuous Peter. He became the proclaimer of the gospel. He was the exemplified rock upon which Jesus built his church. Jesus built the church, and hell hasn't been able to stand against us all. That's good news. That means that you and me, even though we fail, even though mostly I can only have phileo for Jesus, you and me, we can together move towards agape for Jesus. God was willing to work with Peter. Jesus was willing to work with Peter, who denied him three times and who could only have phileo love. If Jesus would work with Peter, Jesus will work with you. Jesus will work with us. Jesus will work to transform us, to enable us, to empower us to be the people of agape He has called us to be. And that, my brothers and sisters, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the good news we have to proclaim. That the love of God knows no boundaries. And that God will accept us where we are, just as we are. But He won't leave us there. He will move us forward. He will transform us, sanctify us, make us more and more into His image, so that we might truly reflect the love of God, the agape of God, to a broken world. My sisters and brothers, open yourself to the love of God where you are right now. And if it's phileo, that's fine. That's a good start. But don't stop there. Allow the agape love of God to so flow through you and so change you that you will reach out with agape hands, hands of God's love, hands of the love of Jesus to others. My mother has a very favorite little sculpture. It's a sculpture of Jesus' hands held together in prayer. Loving hands, strong hands, powerful hands, hands of agape, offering the love of God to all. May we become God's agape hands to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
May we dwell in Your presence, Lord. Let me learn at Your feet. I will taste the riches of
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church, and rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.